Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey and iHeartRadio app. Broadcasting live for the Hyundai Score Studios, I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking Chicago baseball until 11 o'clock like we do every Saturday morning. Today, wondering why Shota got shelled and if they're shopping for brooms yet in Bridgeport, anticipating a White Sox sweep. Good morning, Bruce.
David, that's the beauty of baseball, isn't it?
It is. Well, or the curse.
You have the...
Or the things that confound you about baseball,
you have depending... One of the most dominant teams in baseball, the first 102 games of the season, and the White Sox tell everybody right now, get out of my way. We are going to score 10 runs on you every night. The last seven games, 6-1, averaging 9 runs a game. It's been pretty impressive.
It has been very impressive what they have done since the All-Star break. But let's face it, what they have done in the month of July has really given you signs of progress. This rebuild is going to still take a long time, still very challenging. But these are the kinds of things you look for in the midst of it. Bruce, we could end up, I know that the Cubs will have a response tonight, and I figure that they will be better even tomorrow. But as we sit here this morning, if the Sox sweep the Cubs, they will have more victories in the month of July than the Cubs. That's saying something.
Well, the Cubs, you know, have been playing moderately good baseball. I think the blinding aspect of it has been the way that the Brewers have played, right?
So, yes.
The Cubs have not been awful.
Cubs have been 11-8 in July.
Right.
The Sox are 10-10 at the moment. The Cubs have been 11-8, and it's not been good enough because they've lost ground to one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Right. But, I mean, the Cubs' record is still, you know, what, is it top two or three now? They're a game behind the Brewers, who have the best record in baseball. So I don't think if you're a Cub fan, you're that upset. I think you're a little nervous about the idea that they've lost the last four out of five games. They lost the last Red Sox game in that series. They lost two out of three to Kansas City. Now they lost the first game to the White Sox.
It's been a tough week.
Yeah.
And what happened last night is nothing short of alarming because it was your best pitcher, your ace, if you will. I know Matthew Boyd deserves that designation as well, but not going to lose the point here. The point is you had Shota Imanaga on the mound in a moment that you needed a victory, and he was as bad as he has ever been. And I think all that did was it underscored and amplified how badly they need a starting pitcher. They need somebody who is of Shota's equivalent, who is equal to Matthew Boyd. They need a top-of-the-rotation starter, and they need him tomorrow.
Let me ask you this. Jameson Taillon will throw a live batting practice in Milwaukee this week. He'll go out to Iowa after that, probably with no hiccups.
Excellent.
10 days, be back.
Excellent.
Is that enough with Javier Assad on his way back after not pitching all year? Is that enough for you?
No.
Okay.
No. Bruce, you have an opportunity here. Despite how bad Cub fans may feel this morning, and despite how much this week has been a little deflating, maybe even a reality check, you have an opportunity that still feels rare. You have a chance in this season to compete for a World Series. You still have one of the best offensive lineups in baseball. I know Kyle Tucker's come back and Ian Happ needs to start hitting, but you still have possibly one of the best lineups in baseball. You need to capitalize on the opportunity and leave no stone unturned. That means Jed Hoyer has got, what time is it? Okay, it's 9:05 on Saturday morning, July 26th. When's the trade deadline? You've got 5 days, Jed, to take advantage and seize this opportunity to get yourself a starting pitcher, bullpen help, and whatever bench help you need to make you feel better about winning a World Series this year.
Gee, I hope he's listening to the show so he knows what he has to do. I'm shocked to hear that myself.
Well, I just think, why not? Why not think big?
Well, so, no, I mean, I think that what he told us 10 days ago is starting to ring true, and that is nothing big is going to get done until the last 3 or 4 days of the trading deadline. Now, we've seen some big trades made.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Arizona has committed to getting rid of their players.
They're sellers. They got rid of they didn't move Suarez yet, but Josh Naylor went to Seattle, right, signaling the beginning. And Ryan McMahon went from the Rockies to the Yankees, which was very interesting on Friday for what it said about the third base market. Suarez still out there, rumored to the Reds, the Brewers, and the Phillies,
yeah,
I believe.
So, you know, again, I don't think you really, if you're the Chicago Cubs, David, I don't care what the other teams are doing. I really don't. They already have a very good team. They need fortification in starting pitching. They need fortification in bullpen. You know, they have to look at that pitching market and go, and you know, here's the argument that's been going on out there, and it's one that I think is part of the narrative that the front offices make about this top 100 player list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, we cannot trade top 100 players unless we have players we're getting back that are controllable. We cannot trade Owen Casey for a two-month buy-in for a Gallen or a Merrill Kelly or a, you know, God forbid, for a Hauser. We can't afford to do that.
Dylan Cease.
Right. Because he's liable to be really good, and we're going to regret it, and we have to have something to show for it if we regret it. I don't buy into that theory. I just don't. You go for what you feel is, and you've described it. We've talked about it for 6 weeks, that the Cubs should be a World Series contender, not a playoff contender.
Well, I think your experience tells you that, and there's no such thing as a surefire prospect, which is why you're willing to roll the dice and even trade Owen Casey for an overpay for
rental. Why isn't
he
here now if he's so good?
Well, that's a good question.
Okay.
That's a good question, especially when you look at how Ian Happ has been struggling. I've been wondering about that myself. But you're right, Bruce. That's the risk-reward calculus that's going on in those conversations with the Cubs and other teams. And with the Cubs and themselves, I also think that, so that's one part of what's going on here and what the context at Wright Field last night, the Cubs figuring out that they need to act quickly because their ace got shelled. Meanwhile, the White Sox, winners of 6 of 7, they are a team that with Adrian Hauser on the mound, that was quite an audition, whether it was for the Cubs or the rest of the league. Adrian Hauser, right, 6 2/3. He was really cruising until he gave up a nothing homer late, a garbage time home run when he was really kind of out of gas. But Bruce, he's got a 2.10 ERA and has been the surprise of the season in the pitching staff on the south side. Did he make a statement, or I guess I should ask you this, what kind of statement did he make to the Cubs and other teams last night?
If you're looking to acquire Hauser, let's keep it in context of the Chicago Cubs. If the Cubs are looking to pick him up, saying, well, he's been great. He's got a great sinker. It's ground ball outs. He's been outstanding, most consistent pitcher in baseball for the last 11 starts. But he's not a strikeout pitcher. He's similar to what we have on our staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Closest thing to a strikeout pitcher is probably Boyd, So do you need, philosophically, David, do you need to add a power arm pitcher for this run? Do you need something different than you already have? Or do you just say, the hell with that, we need the best pitcher
possible?
This
is what I would say. I would go for the latter. If you're going to tell me, Craig Counsell, that all you're concerned with when we talk about the bullpen roles and starting pitchers, outgetters, just get me somebody who can get some outs. That's all you're looking for.
But the gamble is Hauser becomes ordinary again.
Well, that's a gamble. That's why I'm putting Adrian Hauser on a list, but he's not going to be near the top of mine. I think he's on a list, but I don't think he's going to be the object, the main object of your pursuit.
Here's the difference maker this time of year, David. You can say, you can show all the bravado that you want for the next 3 or 4 days, and then you start peeing your pants, right?
Yeah.
Because the deadline is there. You cannot make any additions whatsoever out of your own organization for the last 2 months. The rules changed 3 years ago. There's no waiver deals like there used to be where you can pick a guy up, you know, kind of wink, wink with another team. You owe me a favor. We'll do this for money. We'll let him go. There's none of that. So you are stuck with guys in your organization. You better fortify your minor league, your AAA roster as much as you do your major league roster for this last 2 to 3 month run. It's a 3 month run, not a 2 month run.
We'll talk about this with Bob Nightingale, our guest at 9:30 from USA Today. He is plugged in with the White Sox, the Cubs, and the rest of the league. We're also going to talk to Chris Flexen, the Cubs' fine right-hander, who saw some action last night, and he will talk to us at 10. White Sox right-hander Jonathan Cannon will join us at 10:30, and your calls and texts, 312-644-6767. What did you see last night? What did you think the Cubs should do? And how encouraged have you been by what the White Sox have done over the last, well, let's say, week and a half since the All-Star break, when they have been one of the best teams in baseball? Let us know what you think. Bruce, one more question before we get to the callers. Luis Robert Jr. did not play last night. He's missed 2 of the last 3 games. From a trade deadline standpoint, he's one of the most sought out, or talked about, discussed Sox players. What does this recent injury issue, how does that affect his market?
If I'm Dave Dombrowski with the Phillies, or I'm the general manager for the Padres, A.J. Preller, I'm going, man, I really like what I've seen with Luis Robert. He's really come around. He's hitting well over, I think he's hitting 350 for the last 6 or 7 games, maybe 10 games. I really want to acquire him. It's not going to cost much, but wow, he had that hamstring, and now it's adductor is bothering him. Is this a injury player that we can't afford to trade for?
Availability has always been his biggest problem, or at least of late, and I think the injury concerns are real, but if you are a team like the Phillies, you might be more willing to take that kind of risk.
The question is, what are you getting?
What would they be getting? What do you think the Sox could get in return for Luis Robert Jr. at this stage? And how much will that, or are they just going to be motivated by, I don't want to say addition by subtraction necessarily, but I do think they're highly motivated to move him, and that may compel them to do that.
David, is there any, if you're a White Sox fan, and we want to hear from you, 312-644-6767, is there any, okay, we're just tired of Luis Robert rhetoric. It's old White Sox rhetoric. He, like the others, just have to go, okay? We need to move on.
He reminds me too much of Aloy. He reminds me too much of T.A.
Well,
he's part of that group.
No, I mean,
and you wonder,
if you're a White Sox fan, do you just say, I have to get all of that out of my mind. Just get what you can for him. If he's Vaughn hitting for the Brewers.
Oh, gosh.
Or if he's, you know, other players that have done better leaving the White Sox, forget about it, because we need to just move on from Luis Robert.
Let's start the conversation with Ray, who is in Plainfield. Ray, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. We just lost Ray. Oh, my gosh. How could we lose Ray? He had such a good point to make.
I think he was traded to the Mets.
Let's go to Jack is in Hillside. Jack, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, gentlemen. Hope you're doing well. So I'm buying into the Sox are getting closer than, you know, a lot of people thought. I heard Steve Stone yesterday. I tend to agree. We have a lot of good things going on. So my question is this. When do we decide that trading guys like Luis Robert or even a rental pitcher like Adrian Hauser doesn't net much in return? Our strength is all this young pitching. An example of a trade, say, with the Cubs, since I would love to see Owen Cassie or Kevin Alcantara on the south side. So they don't want Adrian Hauser and Mike Tauchman, who fits well with the Cubs as a left-handed pitch hitter. But what do you do? Throw in a Jonathan Cannon.
no.
or Davis Martin.
So Jack, thank you very much for the phone call. That's just not realistic. Jonathan Cannon is one of their young pitchers I think they want to keep and develop, Bruce. Would you agree? And I think that
100%, especially because he's our guest at 10:30 today. We don't want him traded to the Cubs. We'd have too many Cub guests on top of it, and people would start, you know, texting you and saying, you know, welcome to WCUB.
WCUB, yeah, that was kind of funny this morning. Yes, on Twitter, as we announce our lineup, as we tend to do, we had a response today on Inside the Cubs Clubhouse. Inside the Cubhouse. Our two Cub fan hosts ignore what happened last night and talk about the trade deadline next on WCUB. Let's go back to Ray. He's
not
rejoined
true.
Us.
Every week we talk White Sox here.
Yes, we do. Ray, welcome inside the clubhouse. Hope your line is connected now.
Yeah, I'm good. So I was just thinking, I always used to really highly rate prospects too. And I'm sure the Mets are kicking themselves for trading us PCA. But you got to realize, you know, three, 4 years ago? They're back in first place. You know, just because you trade a stud or a prospect that turns into a stud, it's not a death sentence.
Thank you.
Especially the Cubs, in theory, they have money. They should be able to fix their mistake. Right.
Thank you, Ray.
And let's think about the philosophy. The Mets were trying to get in the playoffs in 2021, yeah. When the Cubs traded all of their guys.
The purge.
Yeah. And nobody knew Pete Crow Armstrong other than scouting people who knew there was this 19-year-old kid that was the number one pick by the Mets that was on the DL because he had shoulder surgery.
I know. And I keep going back to it, Bruce. That's a good example. I never missed Gleyber Torres one day. Not a single moment or an inning or an at-bat. I didn't care that Gleyber Torres went to the Yankees, now the Tigers, and he was an all-star player because it got the Cubs Aroldis Chapman. And Aroldis Chapman was here barely long enough to – his lease exceeded his stay.
Time out.
Wherever he stayed.
If the Cubs were knocked out in the NLCS that year, would the rhetoric be different?
Well, you'll be slightly toned down. I would feel maybe slightly different, but I would respect the fact that in that context of that season, take yourself back to July of 2016. We were saying similar things about that team, and I know we can compare and contrast the two teams, and they're very different in different areas. But the feeling is the same, Bruce, or at least it's similar enough that when you wanted to go for it then, I get going for it now. It's the same dynamic.
Yeah, the difference is. The dominant veteran pitchers that the Cubs had in 16, just a little bit different dynamic than what you're looking at Cub pitching right now. I broke down, you know, right before we went on the air, the Cubs haven't had a pitcher other than Boyd, Imanaga, or Ray win a game, a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Since June 16th.
That's really something.
Yeah.
That's a long drought. That just makes it even more pressing, the urgency more obvious. You need somebody who can go out and win a game as a starting pitcher. And I know we're not talking about wins and losses and debating
now,
the value of the staff.
Tyone's been hurt.
Tyone's been hurt.
Brown has been up Iffy. And down, experimental.
Yeah. Assad's been absent.
Right. So, you know, again, the truth of the matter, since June 1st,
yes,
the Cubs are three games over 500, which isn't bad. Not bad.
It's not good enough to win the division.
But, I mean, the record indicates they've been a really good team all year, okay, and still are a really good team. They can beat you in so many different ways. The question is, are you feeling good enough about the pitching, both starting and bullpen, to take a pass on the trading deadline?
That's a great question, Bruce. It's a good way to put it, and we'll get back to the phone lines. This is my revised list, though, of Cub starting pitcher wants. Sandy Alcantara, yeah, at me, okay? Sandy Alcantara, I still have him number one. Dylan Cease, Seth Lugo, Merrill Kelly, Mitch Keller, and then Adrian Hauser. Now, the asterisks. Tell me Joe Ryan. What's the deal with Joe Ryan in Minnesota? If he's available, you got to try. Mackenzie Gore, same deal in Washington. I don't include them higher.
They're not going to trade.
I know, but I have to include them because they're part of the conversation.
Yeah.
But they're not
Charlie
realistic.
Charlie Morton at age 38?
No, I don't think so.
No.
That seems the kind of...
Seth Lugo?
I said Seth Lugo. He's okay. Number three. He had a nice audition. You talk about the Cubs' last two losses have come to pitchers they might have to feel like they should add. If they want to add Seth Lugo and Adrian Hauser, that'd be pretty good.
You know, again,
unrealistic but good.
Which, when you hear those starting pitchers' names, let's say as a wish list, you can get any of those pitchers.
Yes.
Which one tells you World Series Game 1 and Game 7?
You never have any guarantee, but of all those guys who it could recapture or get back on track. Alcantara is the guy with the Cy Young. He had 7 scoreless the other night.
Why don't you just stop right there?
Okay.
Right? Let's say that's it. You know, as far as upside, he's not who he was 3 years ago when he was a Cy Young Award winner. Mm-hmm. He's still recovering. He's not hurt. Yet at the same time, he's had a lot of wonky starts. The last one, 7 innings, 3 strikeouts, no runs. Probably the best outing of the year. But is he the power arm that you envision getting right now? And because you have 2 years of contract control after this.
That's appealing.
Do your scouting people tell you this is someone that's worth Owen Casey and another young player?
That's the kind of move the Cubs would make. Sandy Alcantara is also apparently reportedly expecting to be traded because he's packed for a long trip. Somewhere, maybe Chicago, maybe tomorrow, maybe. A lot of maybes. Let's get to one more phone call.
Is he on that plane to Toronto? that was
Ohtani, same pilot. Mike is in Northbrook. Mike, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, good morning. Like to hear your guys' view on what I've been following the game a long time. I like what I'm seeing from a lot of these young White Sox players who used to be prospects that are coming up. And more prospects on the farm, and a whole bunch of decent young pitchers that are hurt that are going to be coming back, some this year, some next year. So what I'm saying is when it comes to this trade deadline, I'm not for giving away veterans like a young Luis Robert, who's a veteran at 28, or Tauchman even, or Bennington. You got to keep some veterans around to blend with young guys coming up. Then you bring more of your guys up, and then you pick up a free agent or two in the offseason, and all of a sudden you're a relevant team again rather quickly.
Mike,
I don't want to give these guys away is what I'm saying.
I think it's a fair question, and I think you're talking about Luis Robert Jr. specifically. And Bruce, I think what he's asking is maybe we're getting a little – I don't want to put it in that way. What do you think he's asking is, could you envision a scenario where you keep Luis Robert Jr., this momentum with these young players continues and it gets maybe faster, and next year or the year after that, you're better than you think, quicker than you thought?
I'm not picking up the $20 million option on Luis Robert. So that's my driving force, mm-hmm. Okay? If I'm sitting there at 5 o'clock Chicago time on Thursday, the end of the trading deadline, and I still have Luis Robert Jr., I'm faced with getting a draft pick for him if he signs with somebody else after November 1st, or just holding on to him for the next 2 years. Again, I don't think in the White Sox perspective of where they're going that he's the $20 million player they want on a roster that's going to be $100 million or $115 million payroll.
It's a great day to be talking baseball in the city of Chicago. The morning after, the White Sox blew out the Cubs 12-5, and it wasn't that close on the South Side. Tonight, the Crosstown Series continues in the same ballpark on the South Side. Wright Field pregame coverage of the Cubs and White Sox begins at 5:35. First pitch at 6:10 on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
The caller is right on the money, though. If you're thinking the rest of the year for the White Sox, we're talking about some of the pitchers, including our guest today, Jonathan Cannon, starting to be rested to a point of maybe controlled like Roche was last year. Hey, you're just throwing three innings or 60 pitches the rest of the year. We're not taking the chance of you blowing out. We're just going to continue to pitch. But we need some veteran pitchers and players to cover those innings while we develop our young guys and rest them at the same time.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Hall. We are here until 11 o'clock talking baseball with you. When we come back, Bob Nightingale, he knows all the stuff. He's got all the rumors and he's got all the reports. He's from USA Today, and he'll join us next inside the clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Adrian Hauser goes to the mound. This is 11th start. His ERA below 2. Adrian Hauser, you got to love that, right? Swing and a miss, and it's Hauser with the strikeout.
See the off-center grip, the late movement, and because he doesn't throw a lot of them, you can't possibly be looking for it.
What'd that do for you to have your family in the stands tonight?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, baby girl's first time to be out there, so it was really cool. So, you know, it was special, but, you know, being able to have the whole family here is really nice. So being able to get them up for the first time, you know, she's a month old, and having them with a man here was really special.
What strikes these emotions?
Being away from them so much, you know, it's been a tough year for us with bouncing around and being away from each other, but we're fighting through it, and you know, having them here is a lot.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Hall.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. Thank you to CHSN for that post-game clip of Adrian Hauser, an emotional White Sox pitcher, talking about being away from his family and just the ride he has been on since joining the Sox rotation in early May. And that brings us out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Bob Nightingale from the USA Today Baseball Insider joins us. Bob, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Let's start with Adrian Hauser. What did he do for his trade market last night in shutting down the Cubs?
No, big time. I mean, everybody's needs a starter just about. And perfect guy for a number of teams. I mean, kudos to the White Sox for turning him around and getting something for nothing. And so, you know, they should get a you know, nice prospect, nice little prospect or two for him. So, no, I mean, everybody, you know, it's probably about 10 different teams looking for a starter, even though, you know, he'd be more of a back-end type starter, at least he'd give you innings and everything else.
Bob, first of all, thanks for taking some time out today. And second of all, when you look at, you know, David and I just had the discussion about the quote-unquote top 100, you can't trade any of those guys unless you're getting a controllable player back for the future, regardless of what you're trying to do this year. Where do you stand on that? And, you know, how much credence do you put in that top 100 when you're trying to win a pennant or a World Series?
I think you go for it no matter what. I mean, some of these teams hang on to their guys too long. So, you know, the Dodgers had that kid, Diego Cartea, catcher, supposed to be a top prospect in an organization, one of the top 20 in all of baseball. Well, he just got released by the Minnesota Twins. I mean, just some of these guys just don't pan out. You know, you don't know. My thing is, hey, if you trust your scouts and your development people, go find some other guys. I mean, you got drafts, everything else. It's not like, you know, you can't.
Yeah, it's not the end. It's not the end of your the ability to sign players and develop, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, just keep, you know, keep going. But, yeah, if you get a World Series, you know, you do anything for that. That's irreplaceable, no matter what it costs.
So, Bob, I think the third baseman everybody wants who's in the market is Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. I was mildly surprised that the Yankees traded for Ryan McMahon. I understand why they have a need, but I thought they would be in on Suarez. What is the market for Suarez now, and how realistic is it that the Cubs will get involved?
I think the Cubs are slightly involved. I think other teams are more desperate for him, particularly Seattle Mariners. Mariners just got, you know, Naylor from Diamondbacks, but they want Suarez. They had him before. You know, the Reds like Suarez too. great guy in the clubhouse. You know, one of the nicest guys in all of baseball. But you know, you only have him to the end of the season. I think the Yankees felt, you know what, the gap is too big. Let's move now. And they're such a mess defensively. You know, at least McMahon is much better defensively than Suarez. So it makes sense for the Yankees.
So if you're the Cubs, Bob, and you're looking at potentially adding one or two bullpen arms and a starting pitcher, do you look at the Arizona pitchers, Kelly and Gallen, knowing that they're both not controllable? Do you look at one or both of them as a difference maker for you that can take you that third month after the season all the way through deep into the playoffs?
Yeah, both of them. And they've been heavily scouted by everybody. I think at this point, Merrill Kelly, you know, is 36, is more highly sought of, just much more consistent season. He's dominated the postseason. I think it's a 2.25 ERA over four starts. You know, Gallen has his moments. You know, he's got a 3-0 record with an 0.92 ERA against the Yankees and Mets, but has struggled against a lot of bad teams too. So, but yeah, I mean, both those guys would probably be, you know, at least like number three type starters in the postseason. You know, probably not a number one or two, though.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale from USA Today here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bob, the names that keep coming up from the Cubs' perspective and a team that's in pursuit of starting pitching, Sandy Alcantara, Dylan Cease, and Seth Lugo. Those three guys would be, I think, the type of addition the Cubs need to help them feel better about their playoff viability and their chances in October. How about Alcantara, Cease, and Lugo in terms of the likelihood that they will be dealt?
I think Alcantara will. I don't think Lugo will be. I really don't. He wants to stay. They want to keep him. He's got an opt-out after the year. But I think they really want him around. Alcantara, hey, it's going to be a high, high price. But they're going to move him. They don't have to, but they will. The beauty of him is you get him for two more years after this. The negative part is you don't know what you're going to get this year. I mean, he's had a terrible season, had a real good start, you know, last time. So he's starting to get better in sporadic here, but he's not a sure thing. In Cease, you know, if you're a team looking at Cease, you got to wonder, like, wait a minute, now the Padres are going for the playoffs. The Padres are trying to get in the World Series. So why in the world are they trading a starter unless they don't believe in him? I mean, he coughed it up twice against the Dodgers last year and cost them by chance the World Series. So Cease has been disappointing this year. And I think if he wasn't, you know, they wouldn't be talking about moving him. But if you're a team interested in Cease, you got to wonder why are the Padres so itching to dump this guy.
All right, let's move to the closer. The Cubs certainly need fortification in the bullpen. Helsley with the Cardinals, Finnegan with Washington. Where are they going? Do you think because the Cubs and Cardinals are probably not going to trade directly with each other that Jed Hoyer can do an end around and do a three-way deal and bring in Helsley to the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cardinals could deal Helsley to the Cubs. I mean, it's just a rental type thing. It's going to be a new GM next year anyway. So I don't completely rule it out. Particularly if the Cardinals think they're out of it, and I do. I think that, you know, the two guys that people want are the two Twins guys. Those guys are much more available. You know, either you know, Griffin Jacks or Duran. Both those guys, I think, rank ahead. I'm not sure Cleveland's going to deal those two guys. Obviously, those two guys would be higher too. But I think Class A and Gade. Smith, I think they're both staying too.
If the Twins are in sell mode, would they be willing to part with Joe Ryan? And if the Nationals in the National League are in sell mode, could they be talked into parting high price, but Mackenzie Gore?
Yeah, I think the GM came out and said Gore's staying. He is going to keep those guys intact. You've got to wait for his value to get higher. He's not had a good season. But some of these teams are saying, you know what, we can always deal these guys in the winter time and probably get more because you don't have these contenders going for them. You've got everybody. So I think he's staying put. I don't think Joe Ryan's being traded. They got him under contract. are under control through 2027. They still, you know, you're in the AL Central. Everybody's got a chance in the AL Central. So you know, there's no chance this year. You still have them for next year and the year after. So I'd be stunned if Joe Ryan was traded.
Bob, Luis Robert Jr. Was hitting the ball extraordinarily well, continues to play Gold Glove caliber center field, leading close to leading the American League in stolen bases. But the injury bug with the hamstring a week ago and now the slight strain yesterday, will that make teams like New York and San Diego, teams that were certainly interested in Robert, reticent and hold back from making a trade?
Well, I think they'll still make a trade, but you're not going to get much back. It could be one of those things, too, where you put a clause in the trade, like, okay, we'll trade you this, but if you play so many games, you got to give us a choice of another prospect come wintertime. I think it's the only way you can trade the guy and get what you want. By putting that type of clause in there, as far as games played, because last thing you want to do is trade for a guy and he plays a week for you and he's done for the season.
Bob, obviously we're fixated on whether the Cubs are going to add a starting pitcher, bullpen help, and a third baseman. And on the other side of town, what are they going to do about Luis Robert Jr. and who's going to get Adrian Houser? But when you zoom out, you look around the league. Who do you expect to be the most active team before the 31st?
Yeah, so still the Yankees. They made the move. I still expect them to be aggressive. The Phillies with Dave Dombrowski, always aggressive. Now that you signed David Robertson, but they need another closer too for that back end. That window's starting to shut down on them. In Seattle, I mean, hey, they've only been in the playoffs once in 25 years. Jerry Dipoto's the GM, only once in his 10 years. They got to be more aggressive. That's why I think they're still going to get Suarez. Naylor's okay at first. But, not like he's going to hit home runs at that ballpark. So those three teams jump out the most. And I do think the Cubs would be aggressive. I think they got to get us. They have to get a starter and then go from there. But I don't think you can go into the playoffs with the rotation they have now. I think you need one more, particularly with the way the Brewers are playing. I mean, the Brewers are so loaded, they may trade Nestor Cortez because they have so many starters. And obviously, if you win the division, you've got a whole lot better chance to get the World Series than just being a wild card team. History has shown that as recently as 2018 to now. It's just much easier to get to the World Series as a division winner than the wild card.
Bob, the last one for me is, are we talking ourselves into this marketplace being better than it actually is? Is this a very average trading deadline market available, and do teams have to talk themselves into trades that a week ago or 10 days ago they wouldn't consider?
No, I'm with you. I think we do this every year, right, Bruce? It's like, what's going to happen here? And you're right. I mean, the best trade, the biggest trade by far is Rafael Devers. Nothing's going to come close to that. There aren't that many starter guys out there, You don't have a Berlin that's about to get moved or, Max Scherzer, CC Sabathia back in the day, those type of things. I don't think there's a real difference maker. I think all those guys are available. I'm not sure one guy is there saying, okay, now we're going to go deep into October because we got player X.
Last one before we let you go, Bob. You're really curious where you've put Mitch Keller in terms of the tiers of pitching help that might be available. He is a name the Cubs have explored, and they didn't make that deal, but he's still out there.
No, I think he's a great guy to get, particularly again for two more years under cost control, $15, $16 million a year. He's pitching a lot better now. I think a different environment to excel. I put, among the starters available, I put him right there with anybody. I think he's a great get for the Cubs or whoever wants him, particularly having him for two more years after this.
According to the people I talked to, that deal was almost made about 2.5-3 weeks ago, and it fell apart at the last minute. What did you hear about that with the Pirates and Cubs?
Yeah, no, they're certainly talking to them back then. I think they're talking extensively, and then I don't know what the holdup was, but then of course Keller started pitching a lot better, so the price tag went up, and then someone's like, okay, how deep you can go in your farm system and get this guy. So I think that's why we always see all these trades come down in the last few hours on, you know, July 31st, because everybody's just, you know, saying, okay, who's going to blink first?
Knowing how strapped Pittsburgh is for offense, does a Casey for Keller deal make sense, or is that not enough for Pittsburgh in your mind?
It could be enough, or maybe throw in a middle type of prospect, you know, with Casey like that. I think that could work. You know, I mean, saves them money too. I mean, not that, you know, they're already under the gun as far as not spending the money they make. You know, I think the union officials would tell you they make as much money as any team in baseball. They're just not spending it. So, but no, they can use that money this winter and go get something else. But no, I think a trade like that makes a whole lot of sense that they believe in Casey and get someone else to go with them.
Bob, tremendous information and insight. Really appreciate you joining us this morning and all the times you really join the station here at 670 The Score. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, David. Thanks, Bruce.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today insider. He has his finger on the pulse of a lot of different stuff there, Bruce. And we covered a lot
of
different
names. Do you like that trade?
I wouldn't mind that trade.
You know, Keller,
I would make that trade.
Isn't that sexy?
Yeah.
But he's a really consistently good pitcher, right?
I think he's consistent. I don't know if he's a guy that you would put you over the top,
right?
But he would feel much better about your rotation.
Before we go to our break, and we're a little late for it, the reality, though, that if you don't sign Tucker and you trade Casey, are you looking like you've made some really big mistakes here with Cam Smith already having been
Doesn't
dealt.
Look good. It's a right. bad look. I also don't think it means that you can't replace Kyle Tucker and Owen Casey.
I agree.
You have money in free agency. There's going to be...
Maybe what Nightingale said resonates even more when he proposed that. Hey, it's not like you're stopping trying to get good players again. It's not the end of... You know, this isn't... You know, Casey might be a really good player. You might regret it down the line, but if he helped you win, that's
Look,
what baseball
we'll,
is about.
We'll cover that if we need to later. The Astros found a way to have life after Kyle Tucker. So might the Cubs.
And their third baseman.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, you won't believe what happened in Major League Baseball last night. There was a power surge from an unlikely source. We'll talk about it next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Now he goes inside, out deep to left. Forget about that baseball. Come on.
It's ridiculous.
0-1 in the air to deep left. Houston, you do have a problem. His name is the Big Amish.
This kid is incredible.
10-2, his second home run of the night, his 21st of the year, and the Astro faithful are fed up with Kurtz.
And if you've got a seat to this ballgame in the Crawford boxes, just hold tight. Nick Kurtz will get you a souvenir sooner or later.
First pitch.
Oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. This kid is on another planet.
Swing and a drive, deep to left, he's done it four times!
What a magical night for the Big Amish! Smooth as butter, baby! Turn it up!
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Nick Kurtz, Bruce, 22-year-old rookie, went 6-for-6, four home runs, the youngest player to ever record four homers in a game, 8 runs batted in, unbelievable.
More impressive?
What?
19 total bases.
Oh my gosh.
The all-time record for total bases in a game tied with Sean Green, who also hit 4 home runs in a game for the Dodgers 20 years ago, but the first rookie ever to hit 20 home runs in a game, hitting four home runs in a game is more rare than throwing a perfect game. There's only been 20 times that four home runs in a game has happened.
And it's even rarer than a perfect game. So what you heard last night from a 22-year-old rookie there coming in, and thank you to NBC Sports California for that highlight. Goodness sakes, you might even take it seriously, Bruce, if the fourth one wouldn't have come off of position player.
Right. So, that's,
so that bothers you, that, right?
That bothers me. And
doesn't bother me.
We don't have any time to talk about it right now, but because we're moving on. But the reality is, I don't think position players should be able to pitch in games at all. I just think it's contrary. You know, if you're going to do that, call the game at that point, do the home run derby, give the fans what their money's worth, because at that point, you're surrendering the game. It's just, it's not in the spirit of the game to throw, John Birdie out there four times in the last, month.
I find myself in the odd position of agreeing with you. I also think
it's
that
uncomfortable. Isn't it?
It is very uncomfortable. I also think that since the rules aren't that way, that it takes nothing away from Nick Kurtz hitting his fourth against a positional player, because these are the rules now, and this is what he did, and it's unbelievable, and it is historic, and it was worth talking about.
I just think the game and fans deserve better than that.
Don't argue with that. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. We will talk to Chris Flexen, the Cubs' right-handed pitcher, when we come back and Inside the Clubhouse. Big hour ahead. Jonathan Cannon, the White Sox right-hander, joins us at 10:30. A lot of other speculation about trades along the way. It's Bruce Levine with David Haas Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.